Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Monday. It is the 23rd of February, and it's very nice to have you with us. Hopefully you had a lovely weekend. And we're back, and we welcome you to join us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Rosemary's letting the dust settle. that kind of weekend. Let me introduce everybody. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Well, yes.
All right. We'll leave it there for the moment. And political consultant Libby Post is back. Libby,
Hi.
We missed you last week. How are you?
You missed me last week, too.
All right. And happy birthday, belatedly.
Thank
it was
you.
Your birthday last weekend.
We
wish you a happy birthday,
you.
But I don't know if you heard it or not.
No, I didn't.
Okay. And SUNY Albany professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo is here. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
And very nice to have you with us. If you want to join us, roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org, and we would love to have you part of our discussion, our program. It would be very nice to have you with us. Let's go to a lot of different things that we can start, a lot of different places. One would begin, I guess, with the announcement. I don't know. Maybe somebody can help me out on this. But watching the Sunday morning news shows yesterday, and the Homeland Security Secretary is on Face the Nation and says that they have received what they believe to be a somewhat credible threat. I don't know what somewhat credible means, but okay. But a somewhat credible threat that for attacks at malls, including the Mall of America in Minnesota. And this is the line that gets me. If anyone is planning to go to the Mall of America today, they've got to be particularly careful.
Yeah. This is like deer crossings. Be vigilant. Like, what are you supposed to do? The deer jumps at your car. This is like going to the mall. What are you supposed to do? Look for turbans? It's ridiculous.
No, look for backpacks that are left alone.
No, but that's scary. So there was a mall in Ohio that just shut down that just said, all right, well, never mind.
This is just about scaring people. Us. Not the Homeland Security people. I mean, they have to do their...
Well, they're the ones that are doing it.
I know, but they're doing it in response to Shabab, whatever this group is, and out of Africa. And they're doing it to scare the bejesus out of all America.
No question.
Because you can't go... They don't want you to do anything. They don't want you to go anywhere. They want to totally undermine our fabric of life. And, you know, what are we going to do?
Well, it gets even a little bit more complicated because what they're doing is they're calling for these homegrown people to go and do the work for them.
Sorry,
so they're
folks.
Basically going to people who are, frankly, if not for a better word, mentally ill, and trying to get them to go out, to rise to their own purposes. And
if you want to prove yourself within this organization,
if you want to go to meet Allah and 75 Vestal Virgins, blow up them all.
I'm more skeptical. I think that skeptical.
I like skeptical.
Skeptical is better. Yeah. I sound like George Bush. I think this has to do with Homeland Security wanting money. Their budget is under attack right now, and they want more money. Although I'm not sure what they would do with that money. Let's come up with a plan if we really think our malls are in danger. Which what's credible proof? Are they more in danger now than they were?
The credible proof is that they know that there's been this call put out by these folks. But I also think
it's the Somali
Al-Qaeda
group.
Homeland Security didn't make up this video. I mean, come on. They
I think you make a lot of sense, but I think that it may even be, you know, worse than that. I mean, I think that we have to just assume that not only is there a budget in play here, but there's a CYA rule in play here also.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And that you scare the hell out of everybody.
With worthless information. Be vigilant when you go to the mall.
There's a wonderful piece in the Daily News this morning about Giuliani. And basically saying he saved us from the nonsense, that he saved us from, you know, Al-Qaeda and the rest. He didn't save us at all. He got up there after the damage had been done. He never saved us. Mm-mm. He never said anything. Nobody ever said anything like the fact that he saved us. And how this mythology has started is beyond us. So there's a lot of public posturing in all of this.
Yes.
I was really, to Rosemary's point of how you become vigilant, how you assume that the mall is supposed to handle this, and then you have the FBI coming out and saying, I don't know, it's not that bad. No, what are you going to do? So obviously you're not going to go, right? You
know? Have you guys ever gone to the police after you've seen a package in a subway or on a train?
I have.
And you know,
I think I did at Penn Station.
If you see somebody, you know, say something, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, there's got to be, and maybe it's my imagination, a certain amount of rolling of the eyes.
Well, there was a suitcase, a backpack, in the middle of the Port Authority, and we're lining up there to go to our bus, and it's out there all along. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is really stupid, but that's exactly what they tell you to do. So I go to the guard, and I go, I'm sorry, but you know, maybe it's my duty. There's an unattended baggage here. He goes, oh, don't worry about it. I don't feel safe. If that's really a worry, I don't feel safe from our authorities. I don't think giving more money or even assuring the budget to Homeland Security is going to change that.
Or that question, has the luggage been out of your hands? Well, I gave it to the guy out on the curb and I gave him $5 and he took it. Does that count?
Yeah, but you know, if something happens,
if something happens
in a mall in the United States,
God forbid something happened at the Mall of America,
or any other mall, or a train, or any place else, we'll all be screaming about where's Homeland Security and who's to blame, and it'll end up being a he said, she said, like there's no tomorrow between the Democrats and the Republicans.
This is also an economic hit, too, to say stay out of the mall,
but
don't go in the stores.
That's why they bombed Wall Street, was to totally destroy our economic system. So here's another way of doing it, is telling people to stay out of the
malls. Homeland Security didn't do it any help the other day by saying stay out of the malls. Be vigilant.
Be vigilant,
Mall of America's not that great, by the way. Anyone who's thinking of being a tourist there, I don't recommend it.
No, it's too big. And
I've never been.
It's like a theme park inside.
Yeah, it's got a Ferris wheel. You know, need to go there. Yeah.
Let's go to Hoffman's when they relocate it.
Definitely.
Okay, fine.
All right. So.
The finest when you're thirsty.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about other items in the news. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this.
Support comes from Sunwood Builders, Amherst. Over 20 years of green and custom home building, offering home remodeling services and energy retrofits, working to save energy while maintaining design features. Sunwood-Builders.com. Arts Mid-Hudson and the Poughkeepsie Public Library District, celebrating Women's History Month with a series of programs and films throughout March. POKLIB.org. And New England Auctions, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. For 40 years, an international auction gallery offering fine art, books, maps, and antiques. 413-665-3253 for gallery and auction information.
Oscar conversation early, but we'll have it later on the radio. It's very fun. Okay, welcome back to our program, Roundtable at WAMC.org, Roundtable at WAMC.org, and let's go, do we have any letters there, Alan?
Letters,
or we can go to something else if you want to wait.
Well, there's one from Henry. CBS TV today reported that Giuliani is significantly walking back his comments from last week. Most prominent Republicans did not support his comments, with the exception of Scott Walker of Wisconsin. I don't know that Scott Walker supported it. What he didn't do was condemn it.
Right. Yeah, in fact, none of them did. I read a whole series of comments
about Republicans. Including the governor.
Yeah. Right.
Including Governor Cuomo.
Right.
Yes. So we were going to talk about that story because it was a Washington, there was a Washington Post story about Giuliani's false, the headline of the article is false claims about Obama's speeches. And basically what he said, for those of you who don't know, but Rudy Giuliani said over and over again that he felt that he was against this country and against America.
Barack
and
then Obama does not love America.
And he does not love America. And then they went through all of Barack Obama's speeches and talked about how
found many eloquent expressions of love for America and belief in its greatness.
Yes. The problem here is that Rudy Giuliani no longer has any kind of spotlight other than Fox News, and he's feeling bereft. And Frank Bruni said it. He put a post on Facebook. It said, "Memo to self and others in the news media: we need to consider that we're giving Rudy Giuliani precisely what he wants and has ceased to deserve attention. Think Donald Trump." And yes, this post itself makes me guilty, which is why I'll cut it off right here.
Too late.
That's good.
Too late. You cut it off too late.
Well,
he sent it in the first place, and he did it for the same reason the news media does it.
It's
so sorry.
I
was upset that I didn't hear from anyone, including like Jeb Bush, anyone saying the remarks were wrong and I condemn them. Bush went as far as saying, well, I don't think Barack Obama doesn't love the country, love the double negative. But I do condemn his lousy policies or something like that.
And then Scott Walker on Saturday in response to it said that President Obama, he does not know whether President Obama is a Christian.
It didn't
say that to hurt him, just doesn't want
which
issues.
I don't understand because his
like
mother is white.
Well, she could have been
just
Jewish.
In case there's anybody out there who thinks that Joe means that, just remember
that's what Giuliani said. Right.
I mean, but she could have been Jewish, so you never know. You know? And if she was Jewish, then Barry Abramowitz is Jewish, so, you know.
And then there's a story in the paper this morning that Pataki, of all people.
Did you see him yesterday?
Who was up in
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, plugging away to be president.
Yeah.
As one columnist said, everybody has everybody rolling their eyes.
Well, he was on CNN yesterday.
Oh, is that
talking
right?
About all of this.
For the same pathetic reason that Giuliani is mouthing off. These guys don't want to be left.
Right.
They had their moment in the sun, and now they want it back again.
Yeah, they don't know how to fade gracefully.
Yeah.
And with any kind of class.
So what is Scott Walker up to?
He's going to run for vice president.
That's right.
For vice president. He's becoming much more right wing, and even his policies
were
never liberal.
Well, he's like the Tea Party guy, right?
Yeah, his policies are never liberal,
now he's doing the abortion shtick and
he's
the same-sex marriage.
He's going Rick Santorum on us.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he really is.
Going Rick Santorum. I like that, Rosemary.
That's true.
Yeah.
And not to be dismissive of this, but someone has to play that role, right?
nature abhors a vacuum.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
So somebody has to
that. You can't win a primary in this country in the Republican Party if you're not out there with that group.
But they're all clamoring to fill that void. All of them.
That's what I just said.
Right.
They know that they have to. If let's say, you know, Scott Walker was not the kind of anti-abortion person or pro-life person, for those who don't like that other term, person, he has to change in order to win the primary. And it reminds me of which great movie? 5 points for anybody who can tell me.
Well, Mr. Roberts is always a safe guess, but I don't know.
The Candidate?
Nope. The Candidate's not bad.
Yeah.
The Devil and Daniel Webster.
Oh.
You see,
well,
Selling of the Soul.
You're showing your age. But
yes,
the fact of the matter is here, though, with Walker, is he is now framing what he did to the unions in Wisconsin as part of the overall culture wars. Framing,
crazy.
Saying that the unions are part of the bad, like women being able to have reproductive freedom or gays being able to marry. there being unions, that's part of the culture wars. And so what he did in breaking the unions was furthering the culture wars.
Well, I think the Republicans are looking to find the most conservative they can get away with, as far to the right as you can go and still get elected.
And this sounds like somebody who's written to us who may have, some respect for Scott Walker. I don't know. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But he says, if you retire, can you afford to live here? Another couple cannot wait to leave for the South. Why can't Cuomo focus on those who live here? Retirees need help. Those below the poverty line in the middle class. Wisconsin, see, and Illinois have Republican governors attacking education spending, unions, and the poor. New York State needs to take measures to help its citizens. Raises for elected officials is not an option, and that's from Rich.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I just want everybody to know that we read them all, you know.
Try to.
Yeah.
Within reason.
Okay, now that's all right, yeah. And then Ryan says, why can't we just call these people for what they are, racist? It's pretty clear. The country's in better shape than when the president took over. His policies have worked. The only reason to be angry, left to be angry, is racism. Well, and then a telephone number left in a message, which is just, see, it says the telephone mm-hmm. number up there.
Oh.
Okay, I found the statements by Professor Armeo very misinformed. DHS has developed an incredible wealth of training so that the country can respond.
Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah. And then somebody wanted to know, who is that guitar player? Great bumper music today. Well, and
we'll roll the credits at the end of the show.
So everyone can read them.
Yeah.
And Eric says, Rudy making us safe. He made the Times Square safe at Disney and Olive Garden. Rudy is a family values adulterer who put the city's emergency control center in a complex that was known as Terrorist Target, and whose first responders had incompatible communication systems. He got his police commissioner, a felon nominated by Bush, to run Homeland Security. That's right, Bernie Kerik.
Right.
I've mentioned that many, many times. And like that. Okay, that's what I got.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we will continue our conversation. We'll talk about many other items that we have on our docket this morning. We welcome your letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo.
That makes you laugh?
No, I'm having trouble, as you were having difficulty just getting out simple words.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
That's right. Absolutely. Libby Post is here as well, and it's very nice to have you all aboard. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. And Alan, I know we want to – this is a story that basically broke Friday and some talk about – Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York State and ethics reform and tying this to the budget and what we make of that.
Well, let me just say that I've been talking to some of the Cuomo people. They're not happy with me because Libby's laughing.
Well, we keep hearing the same thing. They're not happy with him.
They're not happy with me. And here's why. Because Andrew always says, if I may call him that, always says that he wants something like the Moral Endowment Commission. And then he, kills it in the middle of their doing a successful job, which is what got Preet Bharara all hot and bothered about this thing. And then in the very beginning, you'll remember, he said he was going to do the right thing. Boy, was this the right thing. And a lot of people wanted to vote for him for this. He was going to stop them from drawing their own districts, which is one of the baselines of democracy. You don't allow the people who are running for office to draw their own districts where only they can win. He gets into office, and despite the fact that he campaigned on it. So now I've been going around saying, I'd love to believe him. I don't believe him because he has all this great stuff in the budget. And what is that? He will not sign on a final state budget deal. This from the Daily News. That does not include a comprehensive ethics reform package for a full legislative disclosure of outside income. That's what we've always wanted. You've heard me talking about it. Hey, you're getting money from the outside. Tell us to a penny, not between $100,000 and $300,000, but to a penny who it is. Major changes to the lawmakers' expense account system, restricting the use of campaign funds, requiring the pension forfeiture of public officials convicted of felonies, and campaign finance reform. Okay, so he's got all of that. They don't like that. So what does he give us? He says, well, you know, maybe we'll pass a constitutional, you know, amendment on not letting them have their pensions. Okay, so that's sort of, and by that time that's done, that's five, right. 6 years. Who knows? Everybody will be gone and it won't happen.
Right.
So now he's got it in the budget. Now, because of Pataki versus Silver, a not-so-obscure case, they can't eliminate it from the budget. But they cannot pass the budget. Got it? Is everybody following?
Right. Yes. They can't eliminate what from the budget?
His requirements. All of these requirements that I just read to you.
Okay.
All the things he's got in there. They can't take that out. But what they can do is say, okay, well, we're not going to pass the budget because this is
right.
too... I mean, this is personal now. This is about us. We don't care about social policy. This is about us. We don't want to... We're not going to pass that. So what he can do, says Cuomo and his people, is he can call them back into a room, make a final deal, and the question is, what will that final deal mm-hmm. be? Will that be another half, can't say it on the air, half posterior, you know, thing, which he's done so many times. And what can we expect? He's going to do that all over again. And then he can say, okay, then I don't like my present budget. I'm going to have another budget. And in this budget, I'm going to put our compromise in. And what that compromise is, only heaven knows.
You know, it's interesting. This year I registered as a lobbyist.
Yes.
For doing my dog.
That's what you do.
My puppy and
yeah.
my puppies and kitten thing. And it's onerous what you have to do for Jacob. The
Jay Joke.
The lobbying, what used to be the lobbying commissioner. And, you know, all the receipts and all the reporting and all mm-hmm. of this and how much money did you spend and the whole nine yards. And yet it would be just as easy for the legislators to have to do something similar to track their own stuff. You know, we have to do it, but they don't have
to.
Well,
do it.
I,
yeah,
but
they won't.
State workers over a certain amount
right.
are required to do it. Now, professors can get out of it because they're not really interested in professors. They want policymakers. But I did it because as a journalist, you know, I'm asking
yeah.
for this stuff all the time.
Right. Why not?
I thought it was hypocritical to try yeah. to get out of it. And it made me cry. I do my own financials all the time. It was so complicated.
Yeah.
And they wanted so much information.
That's right.
So,
that's
yeah,
right.
why do I, a lowly professor,
and not
have
only
to
you,
do it?
But what about the governor himself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The legislators are now saying, hey, wait a second now. He should do whatever we have to do. All
Absolutely.
The outside income
they all
that
should.
He is making. So, for example, there was a piece in the paper. I don't know if this is true. This morning, one of the tabs said he was making $900,000 on his book that only a couple of people have.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Only a couple of people
probably got
have,
an advance.
Have, yeah, it was an advance. Of course
Good
it was
deal.
An advance.
Yeah.
yeah. So,
good.
And,
that's
and
the kind
why
of man you want to be governor.
Him?
It's like $100,000 per book that got bought.
yeah. And yeah. I'm sure a lot of people who bought those books knew what was good for them and went out and did what they were supposed to do. But there was only a
and
couple of thousand.
And put it on their desk. Right.
Terrible.
Yeah. No, they all need to come clean, you know. And
that includes the governor.
And I understand, oh, well, it's conflict of interest. We can't say who our clients are. Well, you know what? Us lobbyists have to say who our clients
are. Well, then don't
are.
Be a lawyer. And then
right.
don't,
then don't be,
be
a lawyer. Don't be a lawyer in private
yeah,
practice.
Sure.
Or don't be a legislator.
Which is
right.
interesting mm-hmm. because you saw that Rich Klein, not at the top of my favorite list.
Jeff Klein.
Jeff Klein. I'm so sorry. Jeff Klein said, I know Rich Klein. He's different.
yes.
He was my student. So Jeff.
Not
so,
to be confused.
So
with
Klein.
Robert.
Yeah, so Jeff Klein all of a sudden announces that he's giving up all his income from his law firm. Okay.
He's probably going to go to his wife.
Don't think I wasn't scratching my head and saying, what did he do that for?
Did you figure it out?
No. I have several potential reasons, but... Look, everybody, if your name...
He's going to run for governor.
If you are, maybe, and if you're sitting, or maybe he has something that he would prefer...
Perhaps.
You know, ...not happen or come to life. Who knows? All I know is that there are a lot of knees knocking in Albany right now, ever since pre-Barara announced his famous two words, stay tuned.
Right, right. And, you know, what Shelley did, this he's been indicted, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few months, whether he sings, whether he
makes a deal,
whatever it is, and who else will go down in all of this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we just have to wait to see.
Well, here's the point. I just don't really trust that Andrew will do what he says he's doing. He says these are the things that a legislature has to do to pass a budget, and I don't believe it. I mean, based on past history, I don't see him carrying through.
Let us move on to other subjects, and we will, of course, welcome your letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's talk about the Keystone Pipeline. The veto is expected this week. The New York Times reports that wielding the weapon of his pen, President Obama this week is expected to formally reject a Republican attempt to force construction of the Keystone XL oil pipeline. But in stopping the transit of petroleum from the forests of Alberta to the Gulf Coast, Mr. Obama will be opening the veto era of his presidency. The expected Keystone veto, the third and most significant of Mr. Obama's 6 years in office, would most likely be followed by presidential vetoes of bills that could emerge to make changes in the Affordable Care Act, impose new sanctions on Iran, and roll back child nutrition standards, among others.
Well, he's doing the right thing. I mean, in my opinion, you have this dirty oil that's coming out of Canada. It's going to be shipped across the United States. We know about accidents. We know about the potential for bad things happening, including people who wreck the line. We know that there'll be some people who have to get hired to put it together. But once it's together, that won't save a lot of jobs. It'll go down to Texas, and then from there, or Louisiana, and it'll be refined, and it'll be shipped.
Alan, so you never question Barack Obama, although you always do our governors. Barack Obama is not going to veto this because he is opposed to it or because he's environmentally conscious. He's going to veto it if he does because he doesn't want Congress making the decision. He wants to say, I get to decide if we do this pipeline or not. So I can see him very well. I've maintained that. I didn't think he would veto that. He would use it to negotiate with his foes on the Hill. But I think he may veto it and then approve it later on.
So respectfully, Rosemary, I just think you're wrong. I mean, there's really no evidence of that. This is a policy decision. I just laid out all of the policy implications, or many of them, that involve putting the people of this country in danger. For what? For what reason? I don't see that.
Now, and environmentalists have said that. However, many Democrats, including Hillary Clinton, have come out in favor of this pipeline.
And this president,
so I don't see a great policy objection to it. He has always been speaking about it, talked about it was his decision to make because it's an international pipeline. It goes over that border.
Sure. And the president, to be fair to you, Rosemary, which I always like to try to do, but the point that I should make to you is that this is a president who is pro-frack.
Yeah,
and
it's
so
true.
It's not as if
he doesn't see it as dirty oil,
as
you described
it. Right. This is not either or. So, but fracking has, I think, a great deal more dangerous stuff to it than even the pipeline does.
Well,
and so I'm concerned about that.
The newest news on that is that the amount of product we get from fracking is going to decrease precipitously because gas prices and oil prices are so incredibly low.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some speculation that that is the work and the plan of Saudi Arabia, that they want us to continue our reliance on their oil. And so they've kept pumping it out as new fracking product has come on the market. We're going to see that cut back.
Well, you're right. We know that we do know that Saudi Arabia is at the bottom of a lot of what's going on right now, but we don't know their motive. Some people think their motive is the Russians, and some people think their motive is getting to the Russians because the United States has asked them to because of what's going on in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So we just don't know.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs, and Colony, New York. Purchasing jewelry and diamonds, coin collections, silver, antiques, fine art, and estates. MarkLawson.com. Healthy Living Market and Cafe. Working to support local agriculture with organic products, community outreach, and jobs. Open 7 days a week at the Wilton Mall. healthylivingmarket.com. Aunt Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, a dental practice with private parking located across the street from Union College, PadulaDDS.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning, a rather lively exchange, and we welcome your comments and input into that. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We have some letters to read.
We have many. Any politician who is in favor of the Keystone Pipeline holds their position for one reason, they want campaign contributions from oil companies, and that's from John. Okay, and then R says, whether we appreciate it or not, the truth is that there are extremists within the far right of the Republican base who agree with Rudy Giuliani's comments. Well, why do you think he's saying them? I mean, that's the whole idea.
That's right.
Is to do that. And Margaret has two, so we only read one, of course. Last night we saw an Oscar winner talk about how he attempted suicide while in high school. He overcame it and urged others to do their best while being called weird. This weekend we read of a tragic suicide by a Schenectady youth who was bright and was given national recognition, and the retired police officer who took two daughters' lives as well as his in New York State and the USA. It's time to focus on this problem. And Armette says of you, Libby, I doubt she's using the term Vestal Virgins, ironically, when referencing the desire of Muslims to martyr themselves for this reward. Please have her read this. And then there's a whole thing. We don't read
It's about Roman religion. Ancient Roman religion. That's what the Vestal
Libby will do her homework.
For.
I know she will. She has promised to read it.
She will. And Richard says, mall terror threat supports NRA argument for more guns and open carry everywhere. Good guys with guns take out bad guys with guns. Open carry groups likely showing up at malls before the end of the week.
Wow.
I of course, never know whether
I'll stay out of the mall.
Whether somebody's kidding or not. Okay. Okay, that's no good because it's too risky. And that's it for now. I think that's it for now. Wait a second. Joan says, Alan, you are so right on this. And Rosalie, that's you.
Oh, I like that name better than mine.
It's off the mark. Obama's going to veto because he believes it would not be good for the environment, period. Well.
Oh, well.
Well.
I'm convinced now.
this business about motives is always very difficult. You really don't know.
I mean, consistently, Andrew Cuomo, bad motives. Barack Obama, good motives. I think it's way more mixed than that.
That's a critique of me, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Yes, okay. Well, thank you for that. May I have another?
Another motive? Go right ahead.
Or another critique. Bill O'Reilly. So, we saw the story of Brian Williams, of course, who... allegedly, I don't know. Is allegedly when we have tape? I don't know. Anyway, he did it. He made up some things and the story got stretched.
He misremembered them.
They were reported on the nightly news. NBC did an investigation. They found him guilty of those charges and they put him on hiatus. They on unpaid leave for 6 months. By the way, and just an aside, if anyone gets a chance to see his daughter, Allison Williams' response to it in an interview at the 92nd Street Y with Seth Meyers, it is one of the sweetest and most honest reactions I've ever heard from a person about honoring
dad's
your dad.
Dad's in trouble.
It was. I just thought it was lovely. But anyway, so now Mother Jones magazine comes out in a piece titled Bill O'Reilly Has His Own Brian Williams Problem, and basically saying that Mr. O'Reilly claimed to be in a war zone when he was a young correspondent for CBS News. Many of us forget that Bill O'Reilly worked for CBS News as
a
reporter.
I was shocked.
And that he often talks about his combat time, his combat experience in the Falklands, and so forth. So now Mother Jones has questioned that. Bill O'Reilly is now appearing on several different in several different venues to fight his for his good name. And is it, you know, is it the same thing? And which, to me, I find this article interesting, or this this issue interesting on two fronts, because are we just going to start going through everybody, everybody's background, scouring the tapes?
Well, I mean, I have to tell you, him I don't like. We've established that over the years.
Right.
I consider him to be a sneering, condescending person.
But he's no longer a reporter.
Yes, but his defense is he never said he was in the Falklands. What he said is he covered the Falklands, which is a difference of opinion, he said. In other words, nobody's telling me that I was there. I never said I was there. I could have been sitting at my desk, you know, covering them. I think that's disingenuous, but what can I tell you?
Mr. O'Reilly has bemoaned the supposed culture of deception within the liberal media, and he proclaimed that the Williams controversy should prompt questioning of other, quote, distortions by left-leaning outlets.
Well, to go back to what you asked, yes, I think we should, as journalists, go through all of the records, all the tapes of people's background. That's what we do to everyone else that we're covering. Why should we not be open to that? And personally, anything that gets Riley in trouble, or O'Reilly kicked out, or in trouble because of his background, I'm really in favor of.
So we agree on that part.
Oh yeah. Well, I can't watch him. But I read his books. I think his books are actually pretty interesting. But I cannot listen to him on television.
You mean like
Killing
Patton and the
Killing Kennedy,
Killing Kennedy,
Killing Lincoln. They're actually pretty interesting.
So my question is, why do we not go after him and have some sort of moral uprising over
some
of the more?
Are we doing that?
No, over some of the outrageous things that he has said, and to various groups and different from, we're going to go back to, you know, however many years ago, and
Libby has an answer.
Because Fox News and Roger Ailes will support him because it's about their version of the news. It's not about the truth.
You are right.
It's about what they think people should be hearing. So they will continue to support him and not do any vetting of anything
but
he says.
But my point is,
compared to NBC or CBS or ABC, which has a real news operation.
But my point being, if none of that before, outrageous things that Rush Limbaugh has never taken him down, outrageous things that Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity have said have never taken them
down.
Same
reason.
So, right. So this certainly isn't going to take him down.
No. No.
Yeah.
You know, my friend, you know, I know, well, let me put it this way. I don't want to get into trouble, but I know somebody who went on his show. And I said, a liberal fellow, actually, okay, Maurice Hinchy. And I said, what are you doing that for? You're not going to get an even break. He said, no, I've been assured I can speak up about this. So he goes on. O'Reilly starts spewing his poison. Maurice opens his mouth, and they cut to wherever they're cutting to. You know, they don't give him an even break. And so I suppose, Joe, the answer to your question is never give the sucker an even break.
Yeah.
You know, it's about money. It's about misleading the public for a political agenda, which is what Fox has and Rupert Murdoch has. And they're not going to, and it's all about the bottom line and making sure the Koch brothers stay in control of the political process because it benefits the folks behind Fox. And that's just the way it's going to be. And it's pretty disgusting and pretty demoralizing for folks who are real journalists, because Bill O'Reilly is not a real journalist.
Right.
And he doesn't write those books. He has somebody ghostwrite them for him. And the whole focus and obsession with killing Patton, killing Jesus, killing Kennedy, and killing whoever else he's written about. It's just he's going after the people who want to have open carry. He's fomenting violence in our society, and he thinks he's doing the right thing, and so does Fox News. Look, you know, somebody said something recently about, I think Jane Curtin in the SNL thing.
Yeah,
it's funny.
The blondes who were saying fake news, and now they have a whole Channel 4, and it's called Fox News.
Right, yeah,
right.
That
I mean, it's the same
one.
Thing.
Yeah.
Same
well,
thing.
I haven't thought of that. I need to look at that, whether he's fomenting violence. I just thought they were interesting topics.
I think he is. I think he's his rhetoric, his vitriol, leads people to act out in ways that are not good for society, and he promotes the thug type behavior of people who think they're defending this country, and instead they're bringing it down.
Well, I hope if there's an investigation that Al Franken leads it.
Yes, that would be lovely.
Well, perhaps Lisa has it best. She says, move Fox News to the mall.
Right.
Oh, I don't like that.
All right.
All right.
Or make Fox News one of the targets. El
hey,
Shabab.
Stop. Birdman, we don't want anyone hurt or good Lord. Birdman won Best Picture. Mm-hmm. I personally did not care for the movie, but I understand why it would have won. But
I personally am glad it's not Boyhood, because I didn't get it, didn't like it, didn't understand the hype other than 12 years on one project.
I don't think they had
so
a lot
glad.
Of good choices today, this time. Mr. Roberts wasn't up there.
Movies that were made 40 years ago.
50 years,
They excluded a lot of movies that many thought should have been up.
So. Yes. So did anyone, did you all watch last night?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Yeah.
Lots of causes. All the speeches were causes.
It was great
politically. Suicide,
great
women's wages. Yeah.
Immigration.
Immigration.
Suicide. Gay rights.
Yeah, there were several on suicide.
Yep,
yeah.
It was really.
Let's discuss suicide. Yeah, that was interesting.
That part of it was great. It was very political. It was,
and the dresses were good.
Yes.
Like the dresses.
Some of them. Yes. Well,
many
dress.
Of them.
I don't understand it. I think
Jessica Chastain looked a little strange in that dress.
Oh, I like that
one. Well, I don't know what
Jennifer
that was,
Lopez.
But I do know that there's just too much
one trick.
Sexualization of the outfits.
We look at the tuxes, too. We look at men.
No, you don't.
Want us to talk about that?
No,
I can
you
tell
don't.
You how
No, you
how
don't.
Good.
That's disingenuous
of you.
You know, there's a
no, I really look at George Clooney. I really do. That's
but you're not looking at his tux. You're looking at
oh,
him.
Oh, yes, I am. All of his tux.
Oh, boy.
From top to bottom, honey.
Oh, boy.
But Jennifer Lopez wears the same
that's,
dress every single time where it's cut down to her pupuk, as my mother would say. With half of her breast showing.
Can we say that?
No,
yeah, I guess so.
It's not quite right, according to the Yiddish, as I understand.
Okay, Nicole Kidman, though, she was great. I mean, she is so, and
the
they have this camera, like, right at your stomach level, so you're seeing the absolute shape of these bodies. And I need to go to a gym.
Julianne Moore looked great.
She did.
She was stunning.
She looks amazing. And then,
she always looks
and
good.
Then good for because I don't think I'm wrong on this, but did Meryl Streep not wear a pantsuit? Yes.
She wore pants.
She looked fabulous.
She was
terrific. Oh, my God.
Good for her.
But this is too. This whole thing is too sexist. That this discussion
fashion
you're having.
Is a
and
I
take great exception.
Yeah.
To people idealizing, you know, women's bodies.
Jared Leto looked great in the.
Who are you kidding?
And the sneakers, they were cute. They were cute.
Yeah. He's. I mean, I could have done.
And when the host, when
Matthew
Patrick came out with in his underwear, you know,
that
that's,
was
you want to
really
be sexist.
Very funny.
Yeah, that was
that
very
was,
funny.
That was a funny
that's
bit.
From, that's
but
from
Lady Gaga took the evening.
With the gloves?
No, just with the song. With the Sound of Music tribute, you know. As you said before, Glory, you didn't think we could top that. And, you know, and then you've got her coming out and doing that. And she was spot on. It was great. She can do anything.
Yeah, she is.
All right. We are out of time. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. And we love your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this.